with not arguing over the kind of food or diet that church members choose or the day or the week that they celebrate this or that. One wanted to have a seafood diet. You know what that is. Everything you see, you eat. And someone else wanted to have a kosher Jewish diet and only eat kosher food. No pork, no shrimp, no ham, no clams, and so on. Another said, I'm a vegan and any other diet is sinful, only vegetables. Another said, I'm a keto only person, and if you don't eat keto, then you're a no-go. Another said, no, God says that all food is blessed. I'm a Weight Watchers person, so I'll just count and control what I eat, but I can choose pasta, breads, and other things like that at different times. In other words, Paul was helping the Roman believers avoid fighting over non-essential meat and drink issues like that. However, in giving them his inspired counsel on these non-essential issues, the apostle made an amazing statement, and that's the statement I want to preach on this morning. It's in Romans 14, verse 8, and that will be my text and provide me with my sermon this morning. It says in verse 8, and I'll read it. Everyone listen, here's the text. It says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14, 8. Now, this is something true of every believer. I don't care if you eat Weight Watchers or keto or vegan or seafood or kosher. This is true of every believer. By the way, this is true of young believers. This is true of old believers. This is true of more wealthy believers and those that are not so wealthy. I'm talking about you, no matter who you are, you have one thing in common, and it's Romans 14, 8. It says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether, therefore, we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The one thing that no matter what you do in your life, you are always, listen to me, if you are saved, if you are born again, you are always doing it with reference to the Lord. You are always doing it with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you this morning is, I have no doubt if you're a born-again Christian that the Lord Jesus Christ is exercising a powerful, dominating force in your life. That's biblically true of every believer. Whether you do right or whether you may be doing wrong as a believer, you are ever conscious of his presence and rightful ownership over your life. I think of myself, so many times I'm just going down the road or doing something and I'm whispering, Lord, this or that. Lord, this problem or that. I feel this pain or that pain. It's just constantly there. I do all things big or small in my life with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I was saved, I did not have the Lord as my constant personal reference point. But since being born again at 17, I sense his personal influence over me, and it's true of every believer, not just a preacher like me. Thus, based on Romans 14, 8, I'm going to preach to you the title of my sermon, and it's called Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation. And I want to say three things about it this morning. Number one, Lordship Salvation deals with a big debate. My first statement about this subject of Lordship Salvation is this. Two things that are different are not the same. Lordship Salvation and salvation by grace through faith, the way they're presented in this debate, are not the same. They are two different things. The first view on lordship salvation of those that preach lordship salvation, for instance, if they quote Acts 16:31, which says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And a person believing in lordship salvation says, it's not only believing upon Christ that saves you, but making him your Lord, because it says, "Believe on the Lord." And that's the teaching. And they quote support of that. It is referring to making the Lord the master of every part of your entire life, or you're not saved, say they. The second view in Acts 16:31 says this about it. It is simply saying that you are saved when you place simple faith in Christ alone to save you from death and hell, and you trust him alone as your Savior. The fact that it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ merely is saying that you acknowledge the one that you are trusting in, that he is God in the flesh, that he is the Lord of the universe who saves us from the second death by his death, burial, and resurrection. And he saves us through simple faith in his person and in the work that he did for us. Now, I'm going to say this right up front when it comes to this debate. I'm going to let you know right up front that I firmly believe in the second and simple view of salvation. Amen. I like Ford Porter's tract, which says God's simple plan of salvation. Amen. I'm thinking of a lady that I witnessed to. And she's up in Dixon City, and I witnessed to her, and I gave her the gospel, and she trusted the Lord as her Savior. She professed to trust Jesus Christ alone as her Savior from sin, death, and hell. And I came back to her, and I asked her that second question. I said, you know, I called her name, and I said, if you were to die today and stand before God, and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And she said, well, I received the present. I said, that's exactly right. You received the gift of God, which is eternal life. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's given to those that are beggars. They don't deserve it. They don't have any worth or any reason to get it. It's not because they did anything, but they received it by grace through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. It's paid for by Jesus Christ, but it's free to you. Amen? Amen. And that is salvation full and free. It's like getting a drink of water when you're dying in the desert and you go, I thirst. And you're not making that person Lord of you're taking a drink. And that is salvation, my friend, over and over and over again. And I want to emphasize that. I want to think about Joe Slobodnik when he came here to this church. He was in a Roman Catholic church, and he was taught not the simple gospel. He was taught, yes, Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and you're saved through the grace of Jesus Christ, but you must receive that grace by doing the sacraments. You must get baptized as a baby. You must do the Mass. You must go to confession to the priest. You must do this and you must do that. And you receive a little bit of grace, and then God looks down, and depending on how righteous you are through the grace you received, he declares you righteous or not. But you never know when you're righteous. Listen, that's not the gospel. The gospel is the gift of God paid for 100% by Jesus Christ. You receive it through simple faith plus nothing. And I want to make that clear, though I or an angel from heaven, even though he's an evangelical preacher with a good reputation, try to dress it up, mess it up, rub it up and rub it down. You cannot change it. It's by grace through faith plus nothing. And you're saved. And it's a blessing once you're saved. And Brother Joe, when he came here to the church, he heard that simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ about 44 years ago. And he believed, and I am so encouraged sitting in his class in Romans, and he's still teaching that simple gospel that he heard. And it's still going out, and he hasn't changed it because it saved him. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 15 says that's the gospel by which we're saved. And it says it's the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Not you making him this or that or anything. It's what God did for you through Christ. And you receive it by faith. Read 1 Corinthians 15. He said that's the gospel. That's called the good news. And it's good news to me. Amen. And if you need to get saved, it'll be good news for you today. And you can receive it by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He said, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent, that's the devil, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the what? Simplicity that's in Christ. It's simple. It's so simple a child can understand it. And when the devil gets in, he tries to mess it up and confuse. So, lordship salvation, number one, lordship salvation deals with a big debate. Number two, lordship salvation deals with a big difference. People that confuse people concerning this simple gospel of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for all of our sins, are people who say things like, but you must make Jesus Lord of every part of your life if you're going to get saved. If you don't do that, you are not saved. Now, most of these are from the evangelical camp, which in itself has been divided over the issue. They attack salvation by grace through simple faith as they call it what? They call it easy believism. And my answer to that is, no, it is simply believism. Yep. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You read John's gospel, and nowhere do you have any other way to receive salvation except belief.
That's right.
And that shows you that repentance when it comes to salvation is a change of mind about believing and trusting Christ alone to save you. And so, that is what is taught. Now, many fundamentalists also confuse people. And what many fundamentalists say is when you get saved by simple faith in Christ, which is correct, then they go on to say that there will not necessarily be a radical change as a result of your receiving God's gift of salvation. I remember getting married to my wife. Where is my wife? Oh, she's right over there. Wonderful. Sitting with those wonderful people over there. Good to have you guys here. You get to sit with a first lady. You're really privileged. But there was a time when she was not my wife. She was Kathy Leeser, and we were planning to get married. And right here in North Scranton, right up on Wayne Avenue, we had a church building up there on Main Avenue. Wayne Avenue, not Main, Wayne. And it was a number of years ago. You know what? It was a lot of years ago. It was this September. It'll be 50 years ago. And we stood there in front of the preacher, Charles Ware, and he said, you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife and all the rest of it. And I said, I do. And he said, you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband. I do. And we were married. He pronounced us husband and wife. And you say, well, that was simple. Yeah, it was really simple. I said, I do. She said, I do. It's like when you receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Do you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I do. And he saves you at that moment. And it was simple. And I did. And she did. And yet we went out of there. And I had been living at 633 Madison Avenue with a man by the name of Mark Bibbins, and he was my roommate, and we used to have a lot of rats and mice in our apartment. We had a basement apartment, and we had these big mouse traps, and you'd see all these mice lined up in the trap. And As soon as I get married, I moved out of there and moved in with her, and she moved in with me at 631 Madison Avenue. And I got out of the shower the next day and saw these nice towels, and I just started cleaning myself with the towel. She goes, "No, no, 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 no. Those are decorative towels." I came out of Bachelorville, man. And things began to change. I used to wear clothes, and they were different clothes. When I got married, she had a bunch of clothes, and she had a verse of scripture on there, said, "God will provide." And she gave me some clothes, and I started dressing different. Now it's to the point where she leaves for a couple weeks, I can still dress myself, but it's been a long time coming. And what I want to say to you is that it was simple to get married, but the result of the marriage was far-reaching.
That's right.
Because she moved in with me.
Right.
The moment you marry Jesus,
right,
you get saved. You don't make him the Lord of your life. He comes in.
That's right.
And makes the difference.
Yes.
In your life. And so there are those that teach that one can be a believer but never become a disciple at all. They make a radical difference between that. They say it's a free gift, but they forget to say it's not a free ride because he comes in. You get married sometime and you'll realize that. Amen and amen. And so I'm just saying lordship salvation deals with a big debate. And lordship salvation also deals with a big difference, and we have to understand that difference. Now, I want to say one more thing, and I'm done. Lordship salvation deals with a simple solution, and it's found in Romans 14, verse number 8. You can look at that. It says this very simply: "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." And look at verse 9. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." He's talking about believers. That this is the result of being a believer. Now, I had a best friend named Bill. And when I was a teenager, and Bill was not saved, I was not saved. And what happened was that we were best friends. And I got saved, and Bill and I used to do things together that we both thought were funny. And sometimes it was at the expense of other people. And when I got saved, the Lord Jesus moved into my spirit, and I had a different spirit. And I didn't want to make fun of other people like I did before. And I would tell Bill that when he wanted to do it, and Bill looked at me, he said, What's wrong with you? What's happened to you? Well, I got a new Lord in my life. When I got saved, he moved in. He made a difference in my life. Then I had another friend of ours who was not saved, but then he went into the service, and while he was in the service in Okinawa, he got saved. His name was Gary. And Bill one day was complaining to me about Gary because he saw Gary and I were closer to each other than I was to Bill, and he was complaining about Gary. He said, "Look, I got problems with Gary." I said, "Well, what's your problem with Gary?" He said, "He talks all the time about the Lord. And he says, the Lord this, and the Lord that, and the Lord this, and the Lord that." And I said to Bill, "Well, when he got saved, Jesus moved into his life. He's making a difference in his life, and he now has a personal relationship of the Lord, and the Lord has great influence over his life." And that's what I believe this morning. Romans 14, 9 is the apostle's reason why this is. He said that when Christ died and rose again, he did it so that he could be the Lord of your life. And what the Bible teaches is the moment you realize you're a sinner and that you deserve to die and go to hell, and you then are told that Jesus Christ is the one who pays for salvation, and you put all your eggs in his basket and you trust him, at that moment you're married to Christ. And Christ moves into your life, just like my wife moved in and I moved in. And he starts making a difference immediately in your life. And the more you go along, the more you feel the effects of that different. It would be like you're in a room and you can't get up. You're so weak you can't get up. But you need sunlight and you need warmth. And this room is damp and cold. And a couple guys say, I'm going to pick you up and take you outside in the sunlight. You say, go ahead. And you have them pick you up and they put you out. And immediately you begin to feel the warmth of the sun. And the vitamin D comes into your skin and you begin to be revived and feel better. I'm saying that's what happens the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins to affect your life. It begins to affect every part of your life. That's why it says in Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. What's that talking about? That form of doctrine is the gospel, that you're a sinner, that you're so sinful that even one sin could keep you out of heaven and send you to hell, and that you are therefore condemned to death and to hell because of your sin, and that you can't therefore save yourself. But Jesus died and paid for our sins because he had no sin of his own. He was buried and he rose again. And if you put all your trust and faith in him, you are saved. That's the promise of God. Take it and believe it. Amen. And that's the form of doctrine that was delivered you. And you obeyed it. How did you obey it? By believing. You obeyed it from the heart in that it moved you emotionally. And so you have an understanding of it. You agree with it. You believe it, and then you feel the effects of it in your emotion. And that's what he's saying. But what he's saying is that not only delivered you from hell, but now that delivers you from being a servant to sin. Amen. You are no longer in that place of being a servant to sin. It doesn't mean you can't sin. It just means that you now have a new life dominating influence over you, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes a difference in your life. But you're not the one that makes Christ the Lord of your life. You're saved the moment you trust Jesus Christ. You don't make Christ the Lord of your life, but you trust him as your Savior, and automatically the Holy Spirit of God unites you to Christ and moves Christ into your heart from that very moment that you're saved. And Romans 6:18 is the result of that. It says there, but now being made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Again, you don't free yourself from the realm and rule of sin by making Jesus your new Lord and Master. You simply trust Christ as your Savior. His Spirit then joins you to Christ. By the way, as a result of that, you automatically benefit from Christ's death, burial, and resurrection because you're joined to him and you're one with him. My wife, when she got married to me, she benefited from my bank account. If I was a millionaire, which I was far from it, she would be automatically a millionaire, amen? She would automatically benefit from it. And that is the case. And when you accept and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're joined to him, and so you benefit from his death and burial and resurrection. He died to the realm and rule of sin. He died to the realm and rule where Satan was king, and he was buried and ended that realm and rule where Satan was king, and he rose to a new realm where God is king, where Christ is king, where grace is king. And guess what? That's where you are automatically the moment you trust Jesus Christ. Whether you understand it all or not, that's true of you. You don't make Christ the Lord of your life. God does it automatically the moment you simply trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm talking about Lordship salvation this morning, and I'm saying let's not mess with God's simple plan of salvation. It's a wonderful thing. It deals with a big debate, and we need to settle that debate and say, for by grace are you saved through faith alone in Christ alone, that not of yourself. It's the free gift of God, not of works. It deals with a big difference. It makes a difference in your life. It makes you not only going to heaven and not to hell, but it makes you now living in a new realm. You're living in the place of grace. You're living alive unto a new power, the power of God, unto a new presence, the presence of God, and unto a new purpose, the will and purpose of God. You may fail many times, but you fall on top of the mountain. You don't fall to the bottom of the mountain where you were before the Lord found you. You're in a new place. You're on new ground. You're married to another. Romans chapter 7. That is the simple solution to this whole problem. We don't have to change the gospel to solve the problem of Satan's rule and sin's rule. It's the same old gospel. It's the same old Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can make it simple because it is simple. And it is the solution to drug addiction. It is the solution to gender misidentification. It is the solution to drunkenness versus sobriety. It is the solution, my friend, to everything that destroys man. And by the way, Satan's chief accomplice, Apollyon, is called the destroyer because he's just like his boss, Satan, who does nothing but destroy. Thank God that Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. But that's not something you do to make it all happen. You receive it as a free gift. And you get it all. It's a package deal. And it's worked out day by day by the Spirit of God in your life. And we don't have to change the simple gospel. And thank God we have the medicine. We have the cure. We have what people need. That's why we go out and have big days like this. That's why we go out and reach out to people. We've got the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil confuse you with this lordship salvation confusion. Get that simple gospel. Hold it. Stay with it. Be like Deacon Joe. He just keeps on keeping on and getting that message out there. Amen. And it just keeps on saving people. It just keeps on changing people. And thank God for it. Oh, beloved, just stay with it. Keep on doing it. And don't let any evangelical. Paul said, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. Don't get confused on this matter of lordship, salvation, my friends. God's word is clear, and let's receive it. Let's benefit from it and make it clear to others. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about salvation.